Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
3 minutes after 3 a.m. here on The Fan, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Knicks Sixers game one later on this evening, 8 o'clock at Madison Square Garden, as another chapter will be written in the New York-Philadelphia rivalry. And we've seen these two entities meet in the, not just Knicks Sixers, but New York-Philly. We have met in the playoffs a bunch over the last couple years, most of the decisions going in the positive direction for the New York teams. Obviously, we know it had a couple of years ago with the Giants going down to Philadelphia in the divisional round. That was over before the game even started. But the Knicks got the better of the Sixers a couple years ago. The Mets got the better of the Sixers a couple years, the Phillies a couple years ago. So it's been a lot of New York in the win column, Philly in the loss column. Now, one of the big keys here for the series in this, for the Knicks in this series, is unlocking Mikal Bridges. A guy that I had lowered the bar for. A guy that I'd said, listen, if he can have a rebound here, a defensive play there, a block shot there, I'd be happy. If he can win a couple of games with a key play, just be a role player, the defense, especially in this series, with Edgecombe, with Maxey, I think it's still within reach that Bridges can, much like he did last year in the playoffs, he can give you game-winning plays. Because he can contribute on both ends of the floor. But then game six happened against the Hawks. If that's the Bridges the Knicks get, if that's the Bridges we get going forward, the Knicks are going to be unstoppable. Unlocking Mikal Bridges, which is one of the reasons why you brought Mike Brown here, to unlock Mikal Bridges. You gave up all these picks for, we've heard it a million times, you gave up all these picks, And based on that, Bridges has not lived up to what the Knicks gave up for him. Even having the moments that he's had in the playoffs. Because the reason you gave up all those picks is because you were banking, Leon Rose was banking, on Bridges being the missing piece. The final Infinity Stone. The guy that would be the final player you add, big time player, in the starting lineup that would get you to the finals and win a championship. And so far that hasn't happened, but there's still time left on the clock. And if the Bridges that showed up in game six against the Hawks, if he shows up every game against the Sixers, that is going to be that version of him. The Knicks are going to be on a different level, a level that Philly's not going to be able to compete with. Because the Sixers are already lacking in depth. We know where their offense is going to come from. We know the stars and the star power that they have. We know it's going to be Embiid, assuming he could stay upright for a full series. We know Maxey's going to get his. Edgecombe, like I said, is a talented player who wasn't around the last time these two teams met. So it's he wasn't in the league. So he's a wrinkle. He's a new addition. He's a guy that must be accounted for. And a guy that I think is going to make his mark in this series. And will be a matchup problem, too, for the Knicks to guard. And I think you'll see the likes of Deuce. You'll see the likes of Alvarado. The likes of Anunoby. Anunoby, I think, will guard and be, too, a lot. But you're going to need a lot of help to control Maxey and VJ. Like, those are two guys that can get buckets. Those are two guys that can present a lot of issues for the Knicks. By the same token, Jalen Brunson, I don't see the answer on Philly's side as far as defending him. Like, we know how great Jalen was in that series a couple of years ago. Arguably the best series he's ever had as a Knick. He was sensational. Really, truly was Superman. And he doesn't need to be Superman anymore. We've documented that a million times. This team, this Knick team, is at their best when all five starters are touching the rock, when they're all getting their shots, when they're all getting their points. Now, obviously, what we saw in Game 6 against the Hawks was generational. I would love to see it, but I don't expect that night in and night out with the plus-minuses that all five starters had. And it was just the most dominating playoff performance of any team ever. They had the largest lead of any team that has ever been in the playoffs before as far as any playoff game in history, 47 points. And they dropped, what, like 140? Like, it was ridiculous. And a lot of that had to do with the Knicks, but a lot of it had to do also with Atlanta just being completely and utterly out of gas. And the Knicks just bullying them around. Now, maybe you get that in Game 1 with Philly because they're just coming off of a hard-fought seven-game series where they had a battle back down 3-1. And they're, you know, short turnaround Monday night after the game on Saturday night. So they didn't get a lot of time to A, celebrate the win, or B, get their bearings for this series. So I think it favors the Knicks in Game 1, for sure. Unless you want to tell me they're rusty. I think the Knicks will come out firing, I do. And I think that the Sixers will be dragging a little bit. It's understandable. And you would think attrition ultimately will be the undoing of the Sixers. Because they aren't deep. Embiid is just every other play, he's grabbing his knee, he's grabbing this, he's grabbing that. He is the walking wounded. Even if some of it's theatrics, he is definitely a player that has suffered a ton of injuries and health problems throughout his career. So he is definitely one step away, one play away from the series for him being over. And then when you look to the bench on Philadelphia, it's not exactly inspiring. And that's where the Knicks have a major advantage in the series because their bench is deep, and this is one of the reasons why you bring Mike Brown in. What a change that we had in this year where you go look at the Knicks in a series and say, they have a deep bench, like there's a lot of options for them. That was never the case with Tibbs. And I'm not trying to make it a dump on Tibbs situation. It's just the reality. It's just facts. Alvarado had a good series against the Hawks. Clarkson had a good series. There are obviously Mitch, obviously Deuce. Like, there's just so many guys that Mike Brown could go to on this bench that you trust for defense, for offense, for both. Now, speaking of Mitch, as far as the Hakka Mitch stuff, I don't see the Sixers doing it that much. They don't have enough bodies to do that. Like, I know Drummond's there. I don't see the depth on this team, and I don't see them utilizing the strategy. Now, if they do, we know that Mike Brown will have to adjust. You have to pull Mitchell Robinson out of the game. It is what it is. To me, it's gamesmanship. It's not something that should be... Let them foul. Because you know what? You do get penalized for it. Like, the Knicks will be in the bonus, and you put guys with foul... You know, guys get in foul trouble. So there is a penalty. There can be a punishment. And if Mitch could even hit a couple of free throws, then all that stuff kind of dies in vain. So I wouldn't run from it. If they want to do that, let them do it. But Mitch has got to be up for it, hit a couple free throws. I know he works at it, but he's never going to be terrific at the line. It's just a situation where he's just too tall, quite frankly. And he doesn't have enough arc on the ball. It's physics. Not that I'm a physicist, but I do know a little bit about physics. And the physics just don't work.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
But Bridges is a big key in this series, and hopefully he's unlocked, because that was always the goal when you brought in him in general, and then when you brought in Mike Brown to be the coach. And the Mikal Bridges that we saw in Phoenix, the Bridges that we saw early on in Brooklyn, hopefully that's the Bridges that we see going forward, because it adds a totally different dynamic to this team. Now, if he goes back to what we saw most of the series against Atlanta, luckily the Knicks and Mike Brown have guys on the bench, pros that you could put in there, like Clarkson, that could get you buckets, like Alvarado, that could get you buckets, and it makes up for the lack of productivity from Mikal Bridges. So there is a backup plan. There is a plan B. There is a way around it if Bridges doesn't show up. If he does, and he's dropping 20-plus in this series, Philadelphia is going to be made quick work of, because that's just way too much firepower. Like, you saw the Knicks at their absolute best in Game 6. Against the Hawks. I mean, they were really great the last three games, but that final game was generational. You'll talk about that one. Even though it was the first round, that's one of those games, like, historically, that'll be talked about for a long time because of the one-sided nature of it and the offensive and really defensively. I mean, the Knicks deserve, you think about the offense, of course, but defensively, I mean, they made a ton of adjustments in that series, with especially against CJ McCollum, who was the best player for the first, you know, four games or so. He was the best player on the floor. And that's a floor that includes Jalen Brunson. But that's just the reality of it. And a lot of that had to do with Brunson not being able to guard him. The Knicks made the necessary adjustments on defense. They were able to lock McCollum down for the last two games, where he did virtually nothing. And overall, the defense was just incredible for the final couple games. And it's going to need to be that way in this series, because it's not CJ McCollum that's coming your way. You got all-stars, you got stars, you got MVPs, you know, Embiid, Maxey. There's a lot of firepower on Philly. The thing with them is depth. The thing with them is they don't have home court. And Embiid's overall health. He looked great in the games he came back in the series, and he's the reason why they're still alive. But at any moment, you know, he can go down. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. And of course, you have the Mets. And by the way, the Mets will be playing earlier today. It'll be a 5:40 first pitch because of ice, freezing rain, bad weather conditions in Colorado. This is not early April, by the way. This is early May. Like, this happens in early April. We saw it here. We saw it in Detroit. I feel like there's always some type of snow or ice early in the year, maybe even midway through the year. But early May? You know, sometimes it feels like we've lost spring and fall. We just have summer and winter. And I wasn't the hugest fan of spring. It's too much rain for me, but I do love fall weather. Sweater weather. But it feels like we've lost both. And it's just now, because we had a glimpse of summer. I say that with it being 66 degrees tomorrow and 71 degrees, which are spring days. But you know what I mean. Overall, we haven't had spring weather. It was summer for a week. It was winter for about 8 months. And now it's, I don't even know what this is. I don't know what to make of it. We heard from Paul in Yonkers earlier. He said it was cold at the Yankee Stadium. But Paul might not be able to. It was 55 in the shade, probably 50 degrees. So yeah, a little bit of sweater weather there. Not crazy. Could be a hell of a lot worse. And it's going to be a hell of a lot worse in Colorado, as the game had to be moved hours earlier because of bad weather conditions and not rain, freezing rain, which in my book is ice. Let's go to Hector in the Bronx. What's up, Hector?
Hey, Louie, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, not much. Just want to say, as Evan says, as an IBO, because I'm a Yankee fan, of course, but I'm looking at the Mets, and I think you guys are going to be all right. I think, I'm not going to say you're going to win the division, obviously not, but I do think you guys will eventually turn us around and compete for a wild card. And if I can bet this on DraftKings or whatever, that you guys will make the playoffs, I think I will, because I think that you guys are going to make this. I think all it takes is a few hot streaks. Everyone goes through it. The worst teams in baseball get hot streaks. And I'm not saying you guys are super talented. You have a lot of talent on that team that are just not – that's not gelling together right now.
Yeah, they got to get healthy. That's number one. Yeah. They got to get Lindor back. They got to get Polanco back. They got to get Robert Jr. back. Right. They're going to get Minter back, which is a lot of guys they got to get back, but they need to be a lot healthier than they've been. Hopefully they can hold the fort till then, and then when they get all these guys back, they could take off.
And I'll take in consideration, too, that some guys are just known as slow starters, like Lindor. Everybody knows that out the gate, he's not good the first 2 months. But then he ends up being, like, MVP caliber type of player.
Yeah, and he was just starting to get going before he got hurt, which is unfortunate. Right. But, yeah, he's usually a slow starter. Simeon, now, look, people are going to say he's washed, but he tends to be a slow starter, too. So you're right. There are some guys that know. Curtis Granderson was like that. There are some guys that just don't hit in April.
I got a trade question for you, but before I get to that, I just want to ask you a question. I'll make a little point, though, which does scare me for the Mets, is he's great right now, Holmes, but historically he's also been great coming out the gate. He's opposite of Lindor, and kind of like after the All-Star break has a few, I would say like a bad month and a half. He did with the Yankees as well. He did with you guys last year.
Yeah, I mean, his last start of the year against the Marlins was terrific. And I hear what you're saying, especially when you consider the innings he's going to have to log. But it is year two as a starting pitcher. And obviously, he's been their ace so far. And if he does dip a little bit, you hope other guys pick it up, like Christian Scott, like McClain, like Peralta. And we'll see what they end up ultimately doing with Peterson in the rotation.
Now, if my team and your team can make a trade, hypothetically, and what could we give you guys that would entice you guys? Maybe starting pitching, because we're going to have a lot of it, like Schmidt is coming back, Luis Hill might be something that you guys
Rodon,
might like.
Yeah, Cole, you got, not that you're trading either one of them, but you have a deep rotation.
Right.
Warren.
Right, and then we got this guy we picked up from the Marlins.
Ryan Weathers.
Yeah, somebody else that might be tradable. So I think we have a lot of pieces that we can move, and with that being said, you playing GM, what would you do with the Yanks as far as a trade, if you could do a trade with the Yanks? What would you do that would benefit both teams, not just one?
Who would I want from the Yankees that could make the Mets better, and who could I trade to the Mets to make the Yankees better?
Yeah, exactly.
I got to think about that
And that was a question that Jasmine was asking me earlier. I got into the baseball stuff now. She's like, how can these teams help each other out? And I was like, that's a good question.
That's good.
Really
people helping people.
I know we got pitching.
Yeah, really. Yeah, and obviously you need a third baseman. I think that would make a lot of sense. Can I interest you in Brett Beatty?
I don't know. But, I mean, he might be a
lefty, Yankee Stadium, you know what I mean? You know, obviously, I mean, Vientos, but I don't see really where he fits. I feel like third base is your, number one priority right now. That's where you would need, like, the most help. That's the guy I could give you. Beatty, and then you could throw me an arm.
And who would you offer him?
If you want to throw a pitcher, one of those guys that you just threw out, can I get a Will Warren for him? I doubt it, right? You can't give me Will Warren.
Will Warren's like, no, he's like,
I know. I know, I'm trying to get a pitcher, though. But I think we're on the right track there. I think like a pitcher, and then you guys could use honestly, you really need a reliever too. But you want Devin Williams back?
Oh, absolutely not.
That'd be a funny
swerve.
Imagine it's a three-way trade where Devin Williams goes back to the Yankees, Pete Alonso goes back to the Mets, and the Orioles get whomever. They can get a player. That'd be a fun one, honestly, just for Sports Talk Radio for a day.
I know Alonso's fan favorite.
Yeah.
But let's be real. I mean, yes, he does a lot. You know, he's going to give you like 40 home runs and all that eventually. But I'm not too fond of his consistency and his average. Like, you know, like, he's like a 210 hitter. Like, I don't think you guys need that. I think you guys did dodge a bullet with that one, pay him too much money. But I understand he's a fan favorite. But sometimes you got to let people go. You know what I mean?
Look, you got to make tough decisions, and they made a tough decision. Hector, obviously not a popular one, and Pete was asked about some stuff, which we'll get to, about Steve Cohen and the whole, the way it went down. It was going to, this is the whole deal with Alonso, and it's obviously something that's going to be judged long-term, but if you're going to replace the all-time leader in home runs of your franchise, a popular player, a player that many, if not all Met fans, or certainly a majority of them, wanted to see return, if you're going to do that, Hector, the guy you replace him with better be really, really, really good and really, really productive. And so far, with Polanco being hurt and Vientos over there not being, necessarily equipped defensively at first base, that only fawns the flame and makes people angrier that didn't want to see Alonso leave. So that was sort of the misstep. Not necessarily getting rid of the player, but so far the guy you got has been injured the entire time, so it just makes the move look worse. Like, if they had Murakami and he's got 13 home runs, people would be like, you know what? You got him for a better deal. Let Alonso go to Baltimore. He probably won't age well. So Stearns would come out of that looking like, maybe not a genius, but certainly a lot better than he's looking right now in the eyes of most Met fans.
Yeah, I don't think Murakami's going to keep that up anyway.
No, because you know what? People are going to go to school on him. There's no book on him yet. It's his first time around the league. Let's see second time around.
Yeah, second time around, exactly. Yep. Well, yeah, great morning, man. It's always a pleasure talking to you, man. Thank you. Have a good one.
Yeah, likewise. And say hi to Jasmine. Hector and Jasmine, his wife, are truck drivers. They drive around the country as a married couple, as co-workers, as truck drivers. I don't know about you, but and I love my wife, but within 10 minutes, she's like Bart Simpson in the backseat. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. We're literally driving to Florida. We're not even out of New Jersey. How could we be there yet? Well, could we stop? Yeah, we could stop, but that's only going to add to the trip. And here you have a married couple driving around the country. Like Hector told me one time, he drove from like California to Florida. By the way, I'm giving Eddie Scazzeri, the great Eddie Scazzeri, who's retiring in a couple weeks, I'm giving him a post-retirement plan. I could see Eddie and his wife doing that. Yes, we drive around the country. And I wonder if Eddie's going to move. I could see him moving to someplace boring where six people live, in like a Wyoming or something. One of the Dakotas. Someplace where you go outside at night and you really, literally are the only person. That's where they spot the aliens always. It's never in a crowded mall or in Times Square on New Year's Eve. The alien's always in a Colorado, in a backyard, where there's like three residents in the town. And you can never get a clean shot of the alien either, by the way. But it's never in a crowded area. It's never anything like that. It's always somewhere out there. It's always somewhere where, like, Eddie goes on vacation. But I could see Scoz doing that, driving around the country in a truck. He's a big driver. One of the things, and I want to get Eddie on before it's all said and done here in a couple weeks. Because he's first of all, the stories, which I'm not going to try to make him divulge all the stories. If anybody could write a book about this radio station and it would sell for millions, it's Eddie. He knows where the bodies are buried. I wouldn't say he and he alone, but he's been in those meetings for sure through the years. Maybe not as much anymore as he scaled it back a little bit, but certainly in some people like to call it the heyday of WFAN. Eddie was very much involved with all of those type of meetings because he was the schedule maker. Little did the upper brass know that Eddie was taking notes and getting dirt on them that he could use as ammunition. Okay, this person took more time off than they were supposed to. Let me write that down. Knowledge is power, by the way. And the best thing about Eddie is, even though he was in management, you always knew he was on our side. Not to say that management isn't on our side, but let's be real. So Eddie was definitely on our side. 888, and I love Eddie, but he will be, we're sort of in the final weeks here of Eddie as he is retiring. But I could see him driving around the country looking for aliens, that sort of thing. 888-808, yes, keep your eyes on the sky, as they would say. 888-808-10. Never, I don't think I've watched 3 seconds of The X-Files. I don't think I've seen a second of that show, which is amazing, right? Never. Unless you count like a preview, which I wouldn't. I've never sat down and watched 1 second of The X-Files. Not one. 888-80, maybe I'll do that next February when I'm bored. 888-808-1019 is the phone number. Call. It's After Hours. It is Loogie in the Late Night. More on the Knicks coming up here as they get ready for game one against the Sixers tonight at Madison Square Garden at 8 o'clock. More on the Yankees as well. More on the Mets. There's a lot to get into here on After Hours. I got you for another 2.5. We'll get into some of the stuff Pete Alonso said about Steve Cohen and sort of the conversations or lack thereof when Pete was on his way out, headed to Baltimore. So I want you, the audience, to hear that as well. It's 888-808-1019. After Hours, that's what this is. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
3:29 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. A very busy night of New York sports coming your way on Monday night. Of course, you have headline by Knicks Sixers. The next chapter in the New York-Philadelphia rivalry begins later on tonight. You also have the Yankees, you have the Mets who are out in Colorado, early start time due to weather, some freezing cold rain, I think some snow in the forecast, maybe not tonight, but later on this week in Colorado, so they move the game up to 5:40. So you got 5:40 Mets, 7 o'clock Yankees, 8 o'clock Knicks. Pretty scattered throughout the night, and then I will have you with After Hours following Yankee pregame. So let's figure around 10:30, and we'll obviously have a full... What did I say, Yankee pregame? Yeah, they might do that. You know, that'd be fun. What if they did the postgame first, then the game, then the pregame? That'd be tough to do, even for Emmanuel Babari. By the way, I remember, this is for Al, this is a couple weeks ago. I feel like he's in the car now. He was talking about being a sports agent and whether he would represent me or Barber. I don't want to speak for Babari, but I don't have an agent. So if Al Dukes wants to be my agent, that'd be great. I'd love to have Al in the room with the architect. That'd be great. I can give it, because then I don't have to deal with it. I'm the one in negotiating them myself. It's not easy negotiating for yourself. Especially when you're young in the business. Not that I'm young in the business, but young in the hosting business. And Al carries a lot of weight around here. So to have Al Dukes walk in there and be my agent, I could say, Al, I want this, 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 and this. And we're going to work from home here. Maybe do this, maybe that. Could they add another zero? Would the company really miss it? Because the Lugauer family would appreciate it. You know, I could have Al Dukes in there for me. Because I don't really want to hire an agent. I don't know. And I've known Al for a long time. I don't know what type of cut he would ask for, but we could probably work something out. But I do not have an agent. So if you wanted to represent me, you certainly could. But you, is that something you necessarily want to do? Like, it's tough negotiating. But I guess when it's not for yourself, you don't feel as... There's like an awkwardness when you're representing yourself. And I always felt like this. If you want... Like, someday someone will come along and want to be my agent. Now, so far they haven't. So maybe that's actually maybe just a hopeless fantasy there. But it's like... Somebody would hit me up and be like, oh, I'd like to be your agent. But for right now, I'm all good. But if it was Al, just for the humor, him to go in the negotiating room with the architect, yeah, you know, I'd be a fly on the wall for that. That'd be a funny conversation. Oh, hi there. It's Al Dukes. So Tommy wants the boomer money. Is that going to be able to work? No. Okay. But you ask for the highest amount possible, and they come lower, and you meet in the middle. At least that's what I thought. So just start as high as humanly possible. But yes, I will be on after the post game, which comes after the game, not before the game, and the pregame comes before the game, not after the game. So it'll be a very busy night in New York sports, and I will have you with all the reaction. That's later on this evening. A few things I want to hit you with here before we get back to the Yankees and what's going on with Anthony Volpe. Number one, ESPN, inside the NBA, they got in on the action trolling Mike Vrabel and Diana Rossini, which they had them on the gone fishing thing, the bit that they do when a team gets eliminated from the playoffs. They do the gone fishing bit, and it was, I think they were reenacting Titanic, but it was Vrabel and Rossini on the boat with some of the Celtic players. Bill Simmons was on the boat, maybe a couple other Boston figures, famous Boston sports fans. But it's like, dude, the Vrabel receipt, and of course it got like a billion reactions on social media. I mean, you could just basically type both of their names in your Twitter account, and you'll get 6 billion likes on it. It's just one of those things that just the algorithm and just people's interest in the story continues to just, you would think go away, but it grows and grows and grows because it feels like there's another story about it each day. But they were on, I got a little chuckle out of that. I mean, first of all, I love that show. And second of all, the gone fishing bit is a great bit. They really should have Evan Roberts on that boat every single time because every team in the playoffs not named the Knicks, he's rooting for, including the Sixers. We all know that. He might not admit it because it's Philadelphia, and how dare you? Although battle lines have been drawn in the past when the Yankees played the Phillies in the World Series, that was obviously the birth of the Mets fans for Yankees, the church, which I keep hearing Craig bringing up that he's reopening it. I mean, I don't think a bad season for the Mets is going to have Mets fans rooting for the Yankees, but I understand the Philly thing. I get that. Although, there were a lot of Mets fans that rooted for the Phillies. Look, sometimes politics make strange bedfellows. And you're in a situation like this, if you hate the Knicks, if you're part of the Coalition of Knickhaters, which we know Evan Roberts leads, Marash is in there, Charles Barkley's in there, Reggie Miller's in there, Draymond Green is in there, many of you in the audience are in there, Ozzie and Woodridge is in there, Kendrick and Suffren, some callers to the station. Our former boss is in there, although his team is in the series, so obviously that changes it as well. But there are many in the media world that don't want you to know they're in the coalition, but they are. Some are very open about it. Some are discreet. They don't mention it. But they should all be on the boat. Because whether it's the Celtics, whether it's the Sixers, whether it's the Pistons, whether it's the Cavs, the coalition is getting in bed with all these teams, hoping they are the one to knock the Knicks out. And they are hoping for a very long summer and offseason for yours truly, my fellow Knicks fans, Knicks ownership, the players, because that's the expectation. If it's not the finals, it's a disappointment. And it should be. Like, that's where it should be at. If they don't make the finals, this season is a major disappointment. I don't take this for granted. I understand things were bad for a very long time. I lived it. But I also lived the 90s, where the Knicks were bridesmaids. And I don't want to see this franchise go down that route again. To me, it's about progression. You were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. You fired your coach. You hired the guy that was supposed to unlock players like Bridges. And, you know, based on game 6 against the Hawks, hopefully that's the first step in the unlocking of him. And if he's unlocked for the rest of the playoffs, the Knicks will be unstoppable. But you made all these moves, bringing in Bridges, trading all those picks, trading for Karl Anthony Towns, who, by the way, I saw him in the trailer for The Devil Wears Prada 2. Am I allowed to admit that I like the first one? I think I am, right? First of all, I like Anne Hathaway. I mean, how you doing? And also a huge Knick fan. So, of course, Kat's going to be in that, as she is a massive Knick fan. But I really like the first one. I don't know if I have any interest in the sequel, but I did like the first one. But yeah, you got Kat, you gave away DiVincenzo, who was a very, very popular player. Julius Randle was more polarizing than popular like DiVincenzo was, but you gave away guys that were a part of the building of this team back up to relevancy. So Leon Rose, including trading R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley. Now, that was beyond the right move to do because Anunoby was a better fit here offensively. And, of course, defensively, you know, he's worth his weight in gold. So it was the right move, even though it was rejected by a lot of fans at the time because of the homegrown nature of a R.J. Barrett and an Emmanuel Quickley. So I get that. Devil you know versus devil you don't. But ultimately, all the moves that have been made, including firing Tibbs, to lead us bringing in Jalen Brunson, all of that to get to where we're at now. And that is on the verge of a run to the finals. You were in the Eastern Conference last year. Now it's time to get to the finals. And you take your chances when you get there. But you have to get to the finals. You have to. I took a phone call earlier about, and I'm about the positivity, as you know, especially hours before a playoff game at home. I think it should be all about the positivity. But if a caller asks me a question, I'm going to answer the question. And the question was, you know, if they don't make it to the finals, do you see changes? And yes, I do, is the answer. I do. Unless barring catastrophic injuries, because then you have a built-in excuse. But yeah, if they are short of the goal that I think management has, upper management, ownership, the fans, the media, I don't care if it's in this series, 7 games, or next series, 7-game series, I think there'll be changes. Because there's a small window here. They've already flirted with Giannis, and you can't go backwards, certainly. Meaning if you'd certainly, obviously, if they lost last series, they would be, Brown would already be out of a job, and they would be major roster reconstruction. But that didn't happen. And the Knicks flexed their muscles. They rolled in the back end of that series 3 games in a row, just completely boat raced the Hawks, including a historic, a game you'll talk about forever. Certainly, you know, we will only remember it based on what happens next, we as New Yorkers, but the NBA world will remember that game forever. But it all, the follow-up is always just as important as the actual performance. And that's what you're going to have tonight. And you really have two teams that are coming into this game riding a lot of momentum. The Knicks won 3 in a row. They won in convincing fashion. The Sixers battled back from 3-1, including going to Boston for Game 7. And Embiid being healthy and getting back into the rotation obviously did wonders for Philly. And my read on which team was a better opponent for the Knicks, I think, is dead on, spot on. It would have been the Celtics. They have no front court. Their front court stinks. When you lose KP, when you lose Horford, when you lose Cornett, guys that were part of a championship team, guys that were staples on there, especially a guy like Horford, and you replace them with guys that are just not on the level of those three, and you lost Tatum for most of the year, and Tatum getting hurt and not being available for Game 7, really not that surprising. He rushed back from an Achilles injury. He rushed back from a major injury. It was only a matter of time before he went down. So I wasn't afraid of Boston. In fact, I don't think it would have even been close. I think the Knicks would have beat him in 5. I think it would have been ugly for Boston. Don't feel the same way about the Sixers. Do not think it will be ugly. Unless they're completely and utterly out of gas or Embiid goes down with an injury. Obviously, that's the equalizer. If he gets hurt in Game 1 and is done for the series, the Sixers are finished. But Embiid is a big key here because he could obviously score the basketball. You know he likes to play the mental warfare. You know he wants to get in the head of Karl Anthony Towns, and they have history. They have beef. They don't exactly send each other cards around the holidays. They don't like each other. And this is where Kat, who's been very mentally sharp, like really mentally sharp for a while now, he's got to stay that way because Embiid's going to try to get under your skin. He's going to try to make you uncomfortable, aggravated, where you will make mistakes, not only with your game, but maybe a technical foul, and where you're more worried about the Embiid antics than you are your own game. And that would worry me, and it does a little bit when it comes to Kat, because he can go down that route where he allows that stuff to get to him. And if it does, Embiid is going to thrive because that's what he wants. He knows he's hobbling around on one leg. And he knows Kat is just healthier and could have a major impact on this series and could even outplay him. But physically, Karl Anthony Towns has Embiid for sure covered. Mentally, we're going to find out. But it's a big part of this series. because Embiid loves to play the mind games. Not only with the officials, but with the players, everything. You never know what the heck the deal is with that guy. Like, one minute he's limping, the next minute he's hitting a big shot, the next minute he's falling on the ground, the next minute he's pushing somebody to the ground, next minute he's pulling somebody to the ground, next minute he's kicking somebody in the goyuns, right in the family jewels. By the way, I heard Al Dukes the other day use the T word when it comes to that area. I didn't realize you could say that word. I didn't realize that. I heard him say it like as clear as that. I was like, you can say that word? I guess he can. I try to dance around that word. Plus, it sounds too medically when you say it like that. I like goyuns or family jewels. But that's the direction that Embiid is looking to take. And that's why you got to be a little bit stronger there, especially mentally when it comes to him. And that's where Karl Anthony Towns, who's been sharp as of late, needs to be on his game. Because one of the reasons I think they have the issues they have is because Cat can be kind of messed with mentally on the court. And Embiid is the master of the mind games. He really thrives. And he has to because of his physical limitations at this point. Because he's been through so many injuries. It's been ridiculous. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Cooking easy as 1-2-3. Discover how at chefiq.com. The Yankees have made the decision to send Anthony Volpe back down to the minors. Jose Caballero needs to be the Yankees starting shortstop for the rest of the year. His energy, his passion, his ability to steal bases in bunches, the great defense at shortstop, just adding a different dynamic to this Yankee team, it is worth its weight in gold. And Caballero needs to be the shortstop, not just now, because they made the decision to drop Anthony Volpe back down to the minors. What you need to do is stick with Caballero, meaning if he slips a little bit, if he slumps, which is expected, all baseball players slump, when he does slump, don't bring Volpe back up here and then give him the job. Don't be tempted by that. I know in many ways people view Anthony Volpe as the golden boy, although this decision certainly tarnishes that a little bit, but you have to have conviction, not only now, but for the rest of the year. Jose Caballero is the right guy for this team and the right guy for that shortstop position. He just brings a different type of attitude and mentality to this Yankee team that was missing for years. And Volpe fits more of the mold that is a little bit too buttoned up. Caballero is the guy. Energy-wise, defense, he's giving you some home runs this year. The team is rocking and rolling. Don't mess with it. And at the first sign of Caballero slipping a little bit, don't be tempted to bring Volpe back up here. The fans will reject it. They don't want to see Anthony Volpe at shortstop. They want to see Jose Caballero at shortstop. They want to see him work through some slumps. So yes, I credit Cashman. I credit the organization for making the right decision and keeping Caballero here at short and sending Volpe to the minors. But stick by your decision for the rest of the year, because Jose Caballero should be the starting shortstop for the entire 2026 season. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Rob in Cape May, New Jersey. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Tommy, what's up?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, since the Yankees are so stubborn with Volpe, I think they'll bring them up at some point. So at that point, what would you think about playing Caballero a lot at third base?
Yeah, look, it's certainly a way to get around it. Yeah, it's a way to get around what you know they want to do, which is bring Volpe up. And certainly Ryan McMahon. And we'll see if the Yankees make a move here at the deadline. That also factors into this to bring in a third baseman. Ryan McMahon is not the answer. He's not a starting player at this point in his career. He's more of a defensive replacement at short, at third. I don't like the idea of him starting games, especially when you get to October. You don't want to have dead outs, and that's exactly what he is. Yeah, that's one way to do it, but then let Volpe move, though. Like, there's no reason if Caballero's playing his ass off that he should move off that position. Like, who the heck is Anthony Volpe to have that claim the shortstop? Like, what has he done in his career where that should be his real estate? Nothing is the answer. So he should be either moving positions or staying down in the minors. Like, if Caballero continues to produce, and you know he's going to steal bases. Like, he's got to get on base to steal it, but his speed is just unmatched. He should be the guy, not Volpe. So you're right, though. They are stubborn, and this is a good step, Rob, in the right direction, that maybe they're doing business differently, or maybe there's just something else in play here, and when the moment they get to bring Volpe up and put him back at shortstop, they will.
Right. When they do, they got to figure out a way to keep Caballero in the lineup because he is versatile.
Very. Absolutely, and he's a spark plug too, and I think that's needed on a team sometimes that I don't mean this in a bad way. Sometimes they're going through the motions out there. They're going to win their 90 games, but Caballero plays every game like it's Game 7 of the World Series. Like, he just has that intensity that I think is much, much, much embraced by that team and much, much, and by the fans, and much needed throughout a 162 season.
Absolutely, he's good for the chemistry.
Correct.
All right, Tom, you have a good night. Thanks for putting on a good show, man.
Oh, I appreciate that, Rob. No problem. You and my mom both agree on that one. I don't know if anyone else does, but you two are in the boat. At least you got two. You got Rob and my mom. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. But yeah, I would... you know they're tempted. You know Brian Cashman is like, all right, we sent Volpe down. What you had to do, you could not under any circumstances, even the Yankees, who are stubborn, and sometimes they like to fight the fans to a degree, meaning like, hey, every fan knows this is the right decision, so we're not going to go with that decision. We're going to prove to you that we're smarter than you, and we're going to go right. You want us to go left? We all know left is the right way to go, but we're going to go right just to try to see if we're smarter than everybody and prove it and then crow about it. But in this spot, you couldn't, under any circumstances, hand the keys to Anthony Volpe. You couldn't. It would come off as sports nepotism, that he's the golden boy, that he stunk last year. Even though he was hurt, he stunk. He comes back. Caballero has been a spark plug. He's been really just a jolt to the arm. He's been a breath of fresh air, something that was much needed, not only in this clubhouse, but on this roster, on the field. And then you're going to bring Volpe back and give him the job when Caballero has earned the right to play? The fans would be all over Volpe. The slightest anything, strikeout, double play, he grounds into, boots a ball, throws one into the stands, all over him. And it would break up the flow. Like, why upset the apple cart? You have a good thing going right now. And it feels different with this Yankee team. Now, ultimately, what happens in October will be the deciding factor on whether it's a successful season or whether running it back was the right thing to do. But you can't argue right now with the vibes of this team. They are very high. There is chemistry. There is a good flow. There are great vibes. Why would you do anything to mess with that? Don't swim against the stream. Makes no sense. Makes absolutely zero sense. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. So I saw Jackson Dart was down at Kentucky at the race on Saturday, the Kentucky Derby, Churchill Downs. And he was there with his girlfriend. And I think Jackson Dart won best dressed. And Jackson Dart is just, he's everything you want in a quarterback. I mean, obviously he doesn't have a hard time getting a date on a Saturday night. He obviously is well-dressed. You know, he handles the media perfectly. One would say he gets it. He certainly does. And he is everything that you'd want in a quarterback for a New York team. The looks, the game, the swagger, the attitude. He checks every box for a starting quarterback, especially in this town, where you can be a star in other areas of the country. But here, as the quarterback of the Giants, and even the Jets, for sure, which is why I've talked about Joe Burrow coming here to be the next Broadway Joe. And Joe's another guy that doesn't need help getting a date on a Saturday night, but still, I think you'd rather be in New York City than Cincinnati. Ask Boomer. There's so many more avenues to just everything in your life, career, personal life in New York. But Jackson Dart, he's just the man. Now he's got to continue to prove it on the field. It was only a short sample size in his rookie year. I understand that. But he has now the tutelage of Harbaugh. He's got a roster that's getting better and better and better. He's got a wide receiver in a skill position room that's getting better and better and better. And truly, there is no limit for how great Jackson Dart can be. Including off the field, where he's just strutting his stuff down at the Kentucky Derby. Now, I didn't have a Golden Tempo. That was the horse that won, 30-1. I wish I did. I did not. 30-1. I watched the race. I know everybody does. I don't do the derby parties. I know people like to have the Kentucky Derby party so they could have the one-mint jaloop and they could wear fancy hats. But I did not attend the party, but I did watch the race. I forgot it was even on. Like someone had to remind me. They're like, oh, yeah, the horse race. I'm always, oh, that's right, the horse race is going on. Let me turn that bad boy on. And then I got to the part where they're putting the horses in the, wherever they go into to run. That part's a little boring. I mean, they're just a bunch of horses, you know, standing there. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of, I can just, you know, what do I can go to wherever and see horses just standing there. When do they start running? Oh, here we go. Then they start to run. And apparently this horse was in like last place and then eventually finished in first. It's like almost a photo finish. And the jockey that won, he beat out his brother who finished in second. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. What do you really say to your brother after that? Sucks being you? I mean, what do you really say? Nanny, nanny, poo poo? I mean, what's really the comment? I don't have any siblings, so I don't know what it would feel like. But I would imagine if it was, I don't know if it's old or little. I have no idea what their age is. But still, you beat out your brother? Tough one. But yeah, everybody in the hats, the whole thing, it's just a, doesn't call to me. Even going to the event. Like, there's sporting events that I would love to go to. Kentucky Derby's not really high on the list. And what the heck is a one-mint jaloop? What is that even, what's even in the thing? It's probably a little too hoity-toity for my liking. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. And Jaylen Brown is still crying. I mean, he was crying about the Knicks for, I don't know, the entire season. Trying to get their lick back. We were the better team or whatever. Or if Tatum didn't get hurt, we'd have missed all those shots. We would have beaten the Knicks and blah, 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 blah. Can't wait to play the Knicks. Well, the Knicks are still alive and you're gone. And now that the Sixers eliminated them, he's crying about Embiid, which I get. Embiid is somebody that you can complain about, but still flopping, you know, getting the calls. It's like, dude, you lost again. Take the loss like a man and move on. Stop crying about it. That's all he does. Whether it was the Knicks, now it's the Sixers. It's like, bro, your team is home for the second straight year. And look, Tatum got hurt. Is what it is. But that's the deal. Like, move on. Because now, look, you're a great player and you won a championship, but it's just becoming a situation where after every playoff round, you're complaining or crying or making excuses. Your team lost. You had a 3-1 lead. And game 7 was in your building. And when Tatum's out, you're expected to be the star. And you didn't do enough to beat the Sixers. And believe me, I was rooting for you. I'd rather play the Celtics. Their front court sucks. Tatum was hurt, which I didn't even account for. Or I didn't account for him not coming back, you know what I mean? But certainly his injury plays into a little bit because he might not come back. And even though the Knicks wouldn't have home court in that series, I just think that Boston, I've said it all year long, I think we even have a promo running about it. I felt like the Knicks matched up very well against Boston. I wasn't scared of them. The Knicks are a deeper team, a bigger team, they're a better team, and they would have won that series in 5. Philly's going to be, even though they don't have the depth, even though Embiid could fall over at any moment and be out for the series, this is going to be a tougher one. That was a sports war a couple years ago. That was as exciting as a series, playoff-wise, that this group has had in this run over the last couple years. It was electric. And I expect it to be again. Because even though Philly might be a little bit battered and bruised coming into game 1, and that should be an advantage for the Knicks, and obviously winning game 1 of the series, not just for the Knicks, but for any NBA team, you want to get game 1. You get game 1, you're more than likely going to win the series. And the Knicks, it's very advantageous for them that not only the last time we saw them, they steamrolled the Hawks, but also they've had a couple of nights rest. They are home. You know, a couple of nights without basketball, they're home, they're chilling, they're home, literally the game is at Madison Square Garden later on this evening. And the Sixers had to do everything just to get by Boston. Battle back from 3-1, go on the road in a game 7, and they get one day off, and they got to get back right at it. That's a lot for a team that doesn't have a lot of depth, and a guy like Embiid, who I, along with everybody else, is skeptical that he can hold up for 7 games and play at the level that he played for the last couple against Boston. So it seems like it's going to be a very tall order for the 76ers this evening. But that's why they play the games. We know that. But I'm supremely confident, not only in this game, but in the series. But it would have been an easier matchup with the Celtics. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. If you want to talk about the Knicks, you want to talk about the Mets, you want to talk about the Yankees, we'll sprinkle in all three of those topics in the final hour here. I got you till 5 a.m., the warm-up show with Al and Jerry come your way at that time. It's After Hours, Loogie and the Late Night here on The Fan.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more, I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.